Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, you're exactly. In general.
I don't think anyone else was very good in that Rebel army. That's why. Oh, General you know Chewbacca? More things than us.
Luke was what? Just commander, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just a commander.
How the fuck does Lando outrank Luke?
I think age. I think at that point, oh, you're like 30? Yeah, you're a general.
You were administrator.
They were worried about Luke going AWOL and off to do
exactly.
His own thing.
Exactly. Okay, he did abandon his post, go to Dagobah.
And the Force wasn't really a thing. So they all were like, oh, Han Solo's really the
they
hero.
They all say, may the force be with you.
And
may
God bless.
May God bless.
Let God bless. Everybody yeah. Says that.
All right, so welcome to the
recording. How long are we on? Did we get Lando Calrissian?
No, we did not. I'm going to make repeat that. Geeks of the Square Table, episode 68.
Wow, was that far?
Yes.
Man, I've been gone a while.
Next week will be my favorite episode.
All right.
Oh,
God damn it, Dorian.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you can get started early, it's my favorite. That's you, do me, and I owe you one.
You guys are awful.
What is
wrong
with
you? This podcast?
Jules has been gone and he's gone to shit.
What happened? No, what happened to the days where, as a geek, you didn't get laid? Now most geeks are getting laid.
I think that's a great topic.
You're right.
It is. It's great for us.
Geek is sexy now. That's awesome.
We came to an important realization just before we started recording about Lando's wardrobe.
He's a dirty thief.
No, he isn't.
Actually, Han Solo is a dirty thief.
Which makes the most sense.
Jules brought the point that Lando had been wearing Han's clothes
in the third film. In the third film, at the end of Empire Strikes Back, Lando Calrissian is wearing the black vest
and
the white
all of Jedi. All of Jedi, he wears that outfit.
The previous owner of the Millennium Falcon was
Lando Calrissian. So would it be possible that Han Solo was raiding Lando's closet?
I think it was.
He left his best vest and white shirt in the Millennium Falcon. Maybe
after the game of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lando didn't have enough time to
clear out his stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if you get hot and heated in a poker game, you bet your car, you lose it. Everything in it goes with it.
That is the bylaw. Yeah.
I've never bet anything that big. But
you've never truly lived.
Right?
You've never gambled a car? Come on.
But now I'm stuck here. Do you know how many houses I've lost in my 6 games of cards?
Lando sported a cape, on Cloud City, so he
knew
how to dress.
Imagine Han Solo in a cape?
No,
you see him in a leather jacket, another white t-shirt.
Him, Vader, and kind of Leia rock the capes at different places.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Vader obviously rocked the cape.
Yeah.
I mean, Vader's obviously the coolest looking character in the entire franchise. I mean, that outfit is
I don't agree.
Boba Fett's a good runner
but
up.
Boba Fett
kind of
bites
cool.
Vader style. Come on, man. We got Boba Fett second. We get Vader first. The helmet with the cape. You got to say Boba Fett kind of bites.
It's clear who the Alpha Dog is in that relationship. He's like, no disintegration. And Boba Fett's like, okay, Mr. Vader. He didn't say it like that.
But he might as well have said it like that.
Understood.
I'm sorry, but the customer's
always right.
All right.
True.
I'm just saying, you guys say that it's the best costume. I'm sorry, but when most men are watching the movies, they're watching for Slave Leia.
Boom.
I'm just saying.
I'll give you that. It is
just saying.
But for BA, it's
actually, all black Luke in Jedi to me was the best.
Pretty good.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah, with the one glove.
But why did Boba Fett goes hard? A dent in his helmet.
What?
How much money is he not making where he can't afford to fix that dent in his damn helmet?
He keeps it as a trophy.
Yeah.
What?
You know, actually,
like,
speaking of Dark Horse,
I got hit in the head and
just
survived.
Well, he's clearly all about the money, and he's not spending it on Slave One.
He's saving it up for retirement.
Yeah. But no, speaking of Dark Horse, they did a really good miniseries.
Incidentally, that's the worst name for a ship.
What?
The Slave One. Yes. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's horrible.
I mean, Millennium Falcon, that's got like a cool, like.
It does have a ring to it. X-Wing.
It's shaped like an X. That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. Really?
A Star Destroyer.
Oh, yeah. TIE Fighters. They don't even look like TIEs.
No.
But it still sounds okay.
Like bow ties.
They do look like bow ties.
At least it has like an
how
exotic
much more basic
element
can you
to
get
it.
From an X-Wing?
But it's still, it's.
I mean, that's pretty basic.
A B-Wing doesn't look like a B.
That's
I think
right.
That was,
an A-Wing only very vaguely looks like
I think
like
those
an
were
A.
like types, like, you know, class types. And that makes sense.
No, an X-Wing is truly an X-Wing.
It is. Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, They named Windows 10, and it's nowhere near the 10th installment of Windows. It just sounds good. X-Wing sounds good.
Actually,
C-Wing doesn't sound good.
That was like the worst thing.
Realistically, a comparison. Yeah, I just counted installments. Isn't it something like 13 or
Windows,
14?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But Windows 10 just has a better ring to it than Windows 13. Just like X-Wing sounds better than C-Wing.
Yeah.
C-Wing sounds like
a
weird
tell
feminine
tell it to the
product.
Xbox 720.
Yeah, right?
Well, actually,
that
would
have been
that
a better name than Xbox One.
Well,
because Xbox
sense.
One is just fucking confusing.
Well, you say
makes
Xbox
sense, though,
One, people think
people always,
Xbox.
Yeah, people always, that's right. What, when the 360 came out, people were talking about, like, hey, I'm going to go play my Xbox One, you meant the first Xbox.
Well,
first
in Xbox, degrees, yeah. Though, what degree comes after 360?
Well, 720 would be another rotation, so that makes sense.
But if you're in a circle, the degree that comes directly after 360 is the first degree, so one. Xbox One.
That
kind of makes sense. I'm grasping.
I heard
you are
grasping.
Yes,
because
what is in the name? What's,
I heard that they
the
were
name?
Trying to say, like, it's your one.
It's
media
your one. It's
source,
your, yeah. It's your one source for all your media.
Well, and I think what
I
they didn't want to have was like.
Well, then they could have called it Xbox Source.
I still,
yeah.
It's
your
one
box. It's your one box for leg.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is that's the. Not really affectionate nickname people came up with.
But I still like it, the X-Bone.
Gotta go play my X-Bone.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get introduction.
Lando's.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
I'm your host, Lawrence America, and to my left is...
The irredeemable Gomer.
David, the cookie anarchist!
That is the worst one you've done. That is the worst one in my presence.
I'd have to... I'd have to
that is just awful.
Wow. So this is the guy that gave me that name?
Don't worry. Don't worry, Miguel. It gets worse from here.
Good fun to follow that. I'm Taylor.
He's tired.
I'm hopefully Heather. Today, anyway.
I'm Jules.
Where is GQ?
With his mama.
With his mama.
For
the holidays. He will be home on Friday, and we miss him, and... He'll be home soon.
We know he's listening, though.
And we're going to Halo Day on Saturday at GameStop.
Nice.
They're giving away free Xbox One controller skins and little pads for the analog sticks.
That's cool. Speaking of controllers, though, I recently got a Wii U on Black Friday so I could play Smash Bros.
Very cool.
I keep looking for the damn GameCube
it's
controller adapter.
To buy,
I can't find
them.
Yeah.
Online,
I guess Smash Bros. And the GameCube controller adapters are just selling
like
hotcakes.
They are.
I check like every other week and people still don't have them.
Are you talking about the Vibrate adapter?
No. It allows me to use a GameCube controller for the Wii U, which
is crazy.
Anything use a Wavebird?
I have
the adapter.
I can't.
Are we talking about
the adapter?
No, isn't
I
it?
Have
no,
plenty
no,
of controllers.
What,
I just can't use them
thing,
on the Wii U.
There's a little thing you can plug into the USB port on the Wii U to basically make it so you can plug in your controller.
And that's you know for a decade, me and my friends have been playing the thing with GameCube controllers because they let us play with that on the
Wii,
and of course the one on the GameCube. I don't know.
People, you can't go back. Once you're used to playing on that, you can't get your mojo back.
That's the only way to play Smash
Although
Brothers.
I have been surprised by how well the Wii U gamepad works.
What other games have you played for the Wii U?
For Christmas, I got Hyrule Warriors.
And?
Is it good?
I never played Dynasty Warriors before, but I like this game.
Yes, good. Dynasty Warriors is so fun. And there's another game where you rack up 900 body counts. You know, I love it.
900, man. 900. You're doing 900. Terrible. You get 2,000.
I'm doing 900 just flying right to the end
man,
guy.
What a bitch you are.
Oh. Easy. This guy. This guy.
I got the Wii U just for Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
I love Monster Hunter.
Actually, I'm not going to lie.
And also Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was part of the Black Friday bundle. It's pretty... You're giving
is
me
it?
A face. It's good.
Is it?
It's Donkey Kong Country.
I've liked all the Donkey Kong games, including Donkey Konga.
I like Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. It's one of those surprisingly fun games I've ever played.
It is.
You just beat the shit out of people with
the drums. Yeah. I actually called out of work one day after playing Donkey Kong. I had played for so long, I woke up, my hands had swollen up.
Kong 64 was one of my favorite games on the
Donkey Kong
Yes.
64 was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Back when Rare made good games.
Yeah, before they got bought out, man, right?
And before Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah.
Easy for you.
I'm sorry, the game is just awful.
It is awful.
It's fine, but it's a Mario Kart clone.
Yeah, it's Mario Kart with monkeys and a little bit more. It's
they added in planes and hovercraft before Mario Kart.
Yeah. True.
That's true. True. But it's still poorly made.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it was really
bad. I've been playing.
It looks awful.
It was fun to play, though.
It was fun to play, but it looked terrible.
We're talking
comparison.
Video games. I got some video games for Christmas. Well, my kids did, and I steal them from them. Forza Horizon 2.
Is it awesome?
Is it good?
It's brilliant. Forza Horizon was by far the best video game I've ever played. It was the perfect balance.
Really?
It was the perfect balance.
A racing
of
game.
Simulation. No, it was the best racing game.
Okay,
I've
you said
ever
best
played.
Video.
Oh,
game.
I'm sorry. Best video racing game I've ever played.
That's a tall statement.
Yeah. No.
If you play that game, the original one, and you take it off to where you have to all the controls exactly.
Yeah.
All I could do is stay in the wall.
Yeah, it's
hard. I could not.
It's the perfect balance of arcade and simulation in a racing game. And Forza Horizon 2 just upped the ante with everything. They made everything more streamlined, easier to do. Buying the cars isn't so, awkward now. Best game I've played out of all the
racing games.
Well, all the Christmas stuff I got this year. My kids got Titanfall, which I didn't realize was an online only game.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That was awesome. I hope the mic picked that up.
Yeah, I hope everyone heard, but Gomer's kid just Nelson laughed. Yeah.
Ocarina of Time for the DS.
Yeah.
Which is
it's
awesome.
A lot of fun.
New
is it particularly different from Ocarina of Time?
It's a little bit different because of the camera angles.
Yeah.
Oh, in Ocarina, you could control the camera angles a lot more.
I'm hoping when it comes out to get the updated Majora's Mask. That's
I'm really stoked.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, the Ocarina on the DS
it's
is a
long,
little crisper.
We've gotten updates.
The graphics are quite crisp.
The 3D
is beautiful. We've gotten updates of Ocarina of Time before. Mm-hmm. And, that's still cool that you have like the most up-to-date version of it, but we are long overdue
for a
Majora's
Mask.
Mask.
I agree.
It's in the pipeline. I've heard they're...
Yeah, you can pre-order it already.
Oh, okay, good.
Have you played the Wind Waker?
No, you can pre-order it on Amazon. It comes out
I haven't played the HD Wind Waker.
Oh, it looks so good.
I bet.
It plays great.
The graphics on that demand.
In fact, I've already pre-ordered my DS Majora's Mask. You do it on Amazon already now.
Nice.
Stoked. That's my favorite Zelda game.
If they can rework
I have
the Great
to say,
Bay Temple, oh my god.
Yeah.
I hate Majora's Mask.
That was my favorite
Get
game in the franchise.
Get the fuck out of here.
I hate that.
In fact, we've done a Geekly, Geekly debate
we
where
have.
He said that to me.
We have.
All right. And the whole reason I hate it is because you are expected
to have the book.
The book.
He's right. He is right. You are expected to have the guide to some extent in that game.
And that's the thing. I never.
There's a lot of things you can't find in that.
Here's what I'm
going to
say though.
I want to do all the side quests. Maybe you just want to beat the game. No, you don't need it at all.
Go ahead, Larry.
And got all of the masks without the book. And I found out later that was supposed to be impossible. It did take me a really long time.
The difficulty definitely lent itself to the Japanese market more than the American market. Not to say it was a terrible game. It was a fun...
I didn't think it was particularly hard.
See, but I like Ocarina of Time better.
I thought it was a lot more challenging than any of the...
The trickiest puzzles
Zelda
I've ever played
preceded.
Were the ones in Twilight Princess.
Well,
I would agree with that.
That came after
Yeah. A lot of people just, for some reason, apparently had a really hard time finding that scarecrow and going back in time.
Yeah.
If you do get the Fierce Deity Mask, the final boss is a cakewalk.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the easiest thing you could do in that game.
In the moon, Earth!
Well, I know when I got that.
But I love Majora's Mask. It's just like
the moon is so foreboding the whole game.
Awesome atmosphere, awesome symbolism with it.
Yeah.
And that was the first time you got to experience what Zoras, Deku's, and.
The volcano.
Gorons.
Gorons.
That was so cool that you got to immerse yourself in what their lifestyles were like and how they fought.
If it weren't only four dungeons, I might consider it my favorite Zelda game.
Yeah, I agree. There's not enough dungeons in that game.
They should do Majora's Mask 2. They should do another one with that. No, another
and
one.
The only
reset
remake?
In that.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Sequel? Have
no.
Zelda
no,
but
it isn't
unnecessary sequels
like
are some of the worst things
people
will tack
on. I don't think it's unnecessary.
Onto
I think you could do, just like what Jewel said, get into all these different people by wearing masks. And there's more to the whole Zelda landscape now. You know what I mean? There's are more characters that you'd be able to get masks for.
You're talking about sequels. I actually like the
a spiritual successor,
worlds.
Maybe, but not
that's
a direct
game.
No,
that's
no.
But I mean,
Majora's
Mask. Did you play that Link Between Worlds?
Yeah, I did.
It's good. It's fun.
It's great.
See, I like the way they did that one.
Yeah.
I have an unintelligent friend who said it's the best Zelda.
I
don't agree with that.
But it was good though.
Yeah, part of my favorite things with the Zelda experience is being able to explore the game.
Right.
And
you
just
don't have
to do that.
You don't have time.
Yeah.
You know how irritated I was that when I got that, I cracked it open, my game was over in 72 minutes?
But dude, you just
play
this
inverted song of time. Yeah. You get triples the amount of time you have.
I wasn't even done looking
around.
And
it's not as though
I mean,
like you, the player, forget what you saw when you reset time.
Yeah.
Just go somewhere different.
He was just, I think what Larry is saying, he was used to a Zelda game that didn't have those time constraints, and it did allow players
the
to play Explorer.
The time constraint was there for a reason.
Oh, exactly.
Like, I'd rather not have that time. You ever, like, read some of the theories about Majora's Mask? About
like
how, like,
dead?
I don't necessarily agree that Link is dead, but I do think it is about going through the stages of grief.
Oh, definitely.
Going through depression, because they go in order. Clock Town's denial, the swamp is rage, the Orons are in bargaining, the Zoras are in depression, and then you move on to acceptance.
Yeah.
And then that kind of ties in with the time cycle because you feel like you're moving in circles. You feel like you're reliving things over and over again.
Yeah. For that, I mean, it's a game that is on a different level than its gameplay. It's got a synergy there. But I think Larry is saying that synergy ruined the way he plays Zelda.
It has the most...
It really didn't feel like a Zelda game.
Because Larry lets you get in and explore.
It's pretty, it is an unusual experience for a Zelda game, I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's also one of the only direct sequels. It takes place literally right after
there's like three or four others, but
yeah. Yeah, but it was one of the first where, and it was such a strange thing to do where you weren't just this brand new Link in a brand new immersive world.
Yeah.
It takes place literally as Ocarina of Time ends.
Yeah. Are we talking Christmas presents?
I'm starting to feel like Zelda right now. I'm totally missing in this conversation.
Yeah. Let's talk Christmas. You guys got something cool for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, It's the new Zelda game. It's either a love it or hate it. You should love the new Zelda game
because it looks like they're doing Legend of Zelda Skyrim.
Yeah, it looks like its exploration is going to be a huge aspect of it. Vast, you know, countryside and big dungeons.
Yeah. Gigantic, apparently.
Yeah. Hopefully.
No more. By the way, they're saying it's no more where you have one certain place you can get to the next area.
Okay, that's
you can
a get thing, there anyway. Though. Like... I never felt like linearity in Zelda games.
It never felt like you were on rails. You never felt like it was pushing you. But I think that's
people talk
part
about
of
like in Link Between Worlds, you can go in any order you want.
Yeah,
and that's cool. Yeah. But like, I never felt as though, oh god, this is unbearable the way I have to do these dungeons in order.
There is a certain thing where you got to go forest to a place.
Not every game needs to be a sandbox.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. But a Link sandbox game, a Zelda sandbox game,
that's cool. Awesome. But I don't think what I'm saying is though. I like Link Between Worlds because of the things it did the same as other Zelda games. Not because of what it did different.
Of course.
Right.
I see that.
And Wind Waker was... It had a large sandbox-type element
to
it.
Yeah, but the majority of it
you
was water.
You had to do the dungeons in order, but there's obviously a lot to go see. Man, people shit all over the damn sailing and Wind Waker.
I liked it.
There's an island in every square.
I liked it a lot.
In every square. There was hidden treasure in every square.
I love being able to drop the anchor every now and then.
Every time you'll be sometimes you'll be sailing around and then just some giant goddamn squid pops out.
That was fun.
It was awesome.
There was definitely a lot of stuff, like depending on the lunar cycle, where the ghost ship was.
Yeah, that was. I like that.
Raiding the Iron Tower.
Yeah. So, are we talking Christmas presents?
Yeah, Christmas.
Do people want to talk what they got?
I got some
really cool Star Trek books. I think I talked about them last week. I won't talk about them again, except the maps in the stellar cartography book I got are just epic.
That's pretty amazing.
They're huge. They're just huge, like 6x6 maps. They're just awesome. You want to talk about what you got for Chris? You got anything cool?
My dad got me a soldering gun because I've been talking about doing some little bit of electronic work.
Nice.
And just money.
Money is the gift that keeps on giving all year round. Yeah.
Well, technically, no, because once you use
once you spend it, it's done.
And if you invest it properly, you know, you
that's
get a
true.
Good interest rate.
That's true.
Fair enough.
That's boring as hell, but go ahead.
I got some video games and... a Batman bathrobe.
I was hoping you'd go there.
I saw that too.
It was awesome.
It's the coolest thing. I've never worn a bathrobe before, but I'm gonna start. I started now because that's awesome.
I would wear it all the time. I would be wearing it right now if
does
I had
it have
Batman
the ears
bathrobe.
On it too.
No, but it does
hood,
have like
though.
The belt moves. Look like the utility belt buckles.
It has a
like
hood though, doesn't it?
There's a hood.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. You kind of look like you're doing. You're like a Batman boxer thing.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's cool.
It's awesome.
That's cool. I got a bunch of Star Wars shirts.
Yeah.
Nice.
A Star Wars hoodie, a new Star Wars hat. You know, that's basically what I wanted.
Oh, the Force is with you.
Yeah.
I'm all about Star Wars.
Next year is the year of the Star Wars, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
What do you... Really?
Well,
we'll get to that.
We did a geekly debate last week about what we were looking forward to the most.
Yeah, Star Wars in all of its...
I'm still looking forward to the Avengers.
Number two.
I'm looking forward to Avengers 2 more than I am Star Wars.
Well, the comics,
Hey,
Yeah, I bought myself an e-reader for Christmas.
Nice. An actual e-reader?
Yeah, I got it for $60 on Black Friday, but, you know, it's nothing overly special. It just reads books, but
it's better than what you had.
But, yeah, that was about the gist of it. Closed.
Nice. I bought my wife two e-readers. She prefers paper. I hate it.
Like, what the hell? She does. Like, what the hell am I
going to
do with
these? Like, this is my problem.
Especially with comics where, like, when I'm flipping through it, the page layout is intended for someone who's looking at it, like, all at once. Over
two pages. There's a huge difference between reading, like, a lot of books online. I read a lot of books online now and reading books that I hold in
my
hands.
There are books I enjoy and know I'll reread, I want a physical copy of.
Yeah.
But if I'm just
I like to keep an electronic copy of it. I keep one on my computer and one on here. If it's a book I'm going to go after and I want to just take it off for now, reload it, it takes 2 seconds, I'm done. I've got the book with me. But
It has nothing to do with ease, because I have like 8 bookshelves in my house just overflowing, you know, with paperbacks and all kinds of crap that we're never going to get to. But I just love having...
I will tell you my problem with paper books. Yeah. I've had this since I was a kid. I hate imperfect books. Passion. And I watch my children, too. Especially my oldest son.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my kids don't get to read my books.
No, stop doing that! The only problem I really have with books is probably 2 years ago, I was sitting in the living room of my house, and I heard a large crash where... I had too many books on my bookshelf.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you talk about that.
Yeah, and it was pretty disastrous. So I had to get rid of a lot of them.
Classic Larry.
You know, I'm not a digital person. I have several copies of several books if it, like, weathers too much. Something with comics, I am the guy who buys the trade of something I already own.
So you because don't
want to. I don't want to go back and mess up my single issue. I'll take the omnibus or the trade.
What did you get for omnibus? A good reading. Comic.
I would consider getting something, even though I have like all the volumes of Sandman. I would consider getting a Sandman omnibus.
Yeah,
see, well, that's Jerry doesn't like omnibuses that much. He likes to have the actual individual copy.
No, I do, but I don't want to touch him again.
He has signed copies of the books that he goes for, like Terry Brooks and. He likes the Robert Aspern series, the Myth Adventures. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has each one of those books. He doesn't want an omnibus. He wants each book.
If there's something special in the comics, like the Lazarus Volume 1 trade pay, or hardcover, has a whole bunch of added stuff that goes with the universe. So I don't think I would like Lazarus as much without all that background information.
Right.
I have a lot of the Mything Persons books and stuff like that. But if they were to come out with a deluxe hardcover, I would go for that.
Yeah.
Even though I have some of the first printing.
For me, it really depends on what it looks like.
Joel, great. What did you get for Christmas?
I got a new record player because my old record player broke
like
a
vinyl.
Long time.
Yeah, you're such a hipster.
He is a hipster.
I like vinyl. I like... Actually,
I like how your defense say, no, I'm not a hipster, I just like vinyl.
That's like the only thing. But here's the thing, I only listen to two genres.
Put down the PBR, son.
I listen to two genres on vinyl because there's only two genres that actually sound good on vinyl nowadays, and that is hip-hop. Yeah, I did it. And metal.
Jazz.
Wrong.
And jazz records.
Jazz is the perfect vinyl.
Yeah, because those jazz mistakes are there because jazz is a complete mistake. So the mistakes that are there.
All over jazz
I'm not
for.
Shitting on jazz. It's great.
I love jazz. No, it sounds like a mistake. But jazz is a mistake.
It's like a mistake.
It's challenging. It's putting yourself out there.
What about
in a
blues
musical fashion
for
that's
people.
Not
can
I just
loud.
I like blues, jazz, yes, but I feel like whenever I hear someone else who likes jazz, the explanation they give for why they like jazz just like completely loses me. Like it's the notes that they don't play.
No, I don't like jazz.
Okay, if they played nothing, is that the best jazz ever?
No, I enjoy the notes they did play. Am I enjoying jazz wrong? I mean,
that's the thing. There's no way to enjoy music wrong.
A jazz person. I like bebop more specifically. Okay. And I was exposed to bebop. Sonny Rollins, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Charles Mingus and Charlie Parker on tape. And I just listened to them on tape because that's how I was exposed
cassette,
to
it. Cassette, not like A-track.
An A-track, actually.
Okay.
Oh, I
love
8-track.
My dad has 8-track. My dad has hundreds of 8-tracks. He refuses to give them to me.
I think we're losing Larry.
I don't know how. Okay. This is right up
the alley. I got a new record player, and I got an HBO Go account.
Oh, nice.
So I haven't had HBO in years.
The
HBO
corner, go like, by itself.
But I'm avoiding ranting.
You didn't get
here,
HBO
all.
To your house.
Well, we appreciate it.
How did you get HBO? I don't know. It was a gift. I have a year of it. Okay. And then I'll find out.
We're talking a lot about our own personal shit so far.
Right, right.
Is there anything going on in the world that we need to talk about?
No.
So the Asian Airlines plane was found.
Yeah, another plane was lost for a little while. It boggles my mind that in this
lost
year,
season, lost new season's coming out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but it feels like that.
It does. It feels like when Lost come out, it's like, oh, there's no way they would ever lose. They've lost like three planes in the past year and a half. Yeah. What is going on?
Okay. on the subject of Christmas and stuff in the world, that's slightly less depressing.
They found the plane.
So
yeah, they found it.
Tons of boys and girls opened up Christmas morning. Their Play-Doh cake maker.
On, that was hilarious.
I don't think that is hilarious.
I want one of those.
I think people are perverted. I think people see what they want to see.
They do.
Very much did look.
It does.
It does.
This looks kind of like a, if you want this bottle of
but
water.
That doesn't have a special tip and spiral and little balls at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing coming from
I hadn't heard about before. So you're telling me that Play-Doh released a dick-shaped cake maker?
Exactly.
Dildo-shaped
accessory.
Play-Doh extruder that extrudes it in the tip. It has a special attachable detail.
So that does sound poorly planned.
So it's not like cake decorating type thing, but it's like
it has all these ridges around the side.
It's ridiculous, man.
Oh, Lord.
People are crazy, man. People are crazy. People see what they want
Here's the thing. I want to take all of these parents.
I've seen it. No, I saw it.
I
want to
take all of these parents, knock them upside the head, and say, "Grow up." The kids aren't going to connect the dots about it.
I don't know. Kids are kind of smart.
No, kids are smart.
What are you talking about?
But kids are going to say anything. Kids are going to say anything looks like anything just to be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on,
but
guys.
My thing is, these parents who do see it and be like, oh, no, you can't play with that, their kids are going
to
be like,
they're pointing it out to those kids.
Why does my mom not want me to play this?
But
I need
to find a
connection.
Do you know how many times my Barbies... My Barbies
well,
went
gracious
on.
Me.
That's bad.
We're looking at the picture
that
of the accessory
really, really
in question.
Bad. Yeah.
And
that's too much.
I would assume if you didn't tell me I was a Play-Doh dispenser, I would assume that's something else.
You know what I like the best?
Come on, guys.
And I have to point this out. I love how it has the pearlized ring right at the tip.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Oh, good.
Man, I haven't been here. This thing has gotten so low.
That's too far.
Yeah,
it's gotten rough, guys. What happened?
Let's move on to
this show had integrity.
This is a big
never
that's going on.
This is ridiculous.
I brought this up because it made me laugh. I thought it would make other people laugh.
It's like the lady who wrote Lego about the shape of the palm leaves. For a Lego one.
Yeah, because they look like weed leaves.
They look
like
weed
marijuana
leaves.
Yeah. Come on, lady. Leaves are freaking leaves. How many ways can you make a injection mold where it doesn't look like a phallus? Seriously.
That's a fair point.
Right. I mean, honestly, how? It's going to look like it's going to look like that.
It's the accents they had.
Come on,
Play-Doh is saving all
maybe
of those.
They can make
they've,
it square
they've come
shaped.
Up with a way
maybe,
to fix the problem.
Maybe.
Play-Doh's
they
come
have
up.
Other ones that look like can crushers and stuff like that.
But this, they wanted it to, like, to be the cake decorating,
right?
Like funnel. That
this was a syringe style.
You know what? I'm going to bring up.
Yeah.
Why would that be a thing kids want anyway? Is there a great demand?
I know.
Like,
right?
Oh, like a Play-Doh.
Hey, it's a Play-Doh cake
decoration
kid. You never know.
I don't know.
Okay, now I do have to say that Play-Doh has come up with a way to save the product. They're making a 50 Shades of Grey kit.
Oh, that's a
for
great
all
idea.
For all the women. It's going to be great. I'm going to get one. I'm going to love to play with my Play-Doh.
That's a great
good night,
idea.
Everybody.
Good night, everybody.
She'll be here all week. Right in the middle.
I thought 50 Shades of Grey had finally worked its way out of discussion.
Oh, no.
I know they're making a movie, but anyone hated the trailer, and I
February
assume
13.
It's going to bomb.
Woohoo.
I don't think it'll bomb. I think it'll be number one this weekend.
I think it'll be the biggest movie before the Avengers.
I have it on my computer right now.
I no longer want to live on this earth.
I don't want to live on this planet.
I know I have to go see it.
Okay, Farnsworth.
I know that much.
Earth. But other ones.
After the movie is released, there won't be a dry seat in the theater.
Plato has not recalled, it's voluntary recall. If you send it to him, they'll send you a free one.
Yeah.
Like a new one that doesn't look so. I don't know.
Yeah, this one won't be so obvious and it'll have batteries included.
Anyway.
A bunch of new movies came out on Christmas. One I really want to go see is the Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes. Yeah.
Alan Turing.
Did you go see anything?
Alan Turing.
I went to go see The Hobbit. But yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for the first 5 minutes of the movie should have been
the last five minutes of the last movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
like seriously. Yeah.
It was kind of weird to like have this big climactic battle be
at
the very beginning.
Yeah. Very beginning.
We just jump right in.
Unnecessary.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
All of that.
Speaking of,
and then the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, okay.
It gets you into it, though, I'm sure.
It's one of those things where, like, I saw it twice because I went to go see it one time, and then I went to go see it again with my sister. There are some nitpicky things to bring up about the plot.
Yeah.
Who has not seen the movie?
Well, just
I don't care.
I don't remember there being bottles in there.
I have no interest.
You're not spoiling
anything.
Okay.
But there's some unnecessary added
things. When the orcs show up, they have their Earth Eater worms who, like, bore a tunnel for them, and then they just leave.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have been pretty devastating if they had just stayed around in the battle.
They could
have
went through and just eaten everything.
I'm sorry, but...
Either they
were full.
Either they leave, or they get, like...
Was that the guy who played Howling Mad Murdoch in the A-Team movie?
Oh, no. I was going to say Dwight.
Oh, in the recent one?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
That wasn't Shipley Kodo or whatever his name is?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
That sounded like him.
What are you talking about? One's South African and this one was, like, Scottish.
The guy, the Ironfoot. The
Dale, I think his name was. Dane or something.
D-something. The dwarf that shows up right in the pit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that not the guy from District 9?
I don't know.
It was not.
It was not.
Okay.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. And
Shipley
and
Kodo or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. But, my big issue, actually, it comes for a scene that is totally unnecessary with Legolas and his father. Legolas' father decides to tell him about Strider.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Doesn't that make Aragorn a little too old? Because he said he said in Two Towers in the extended edition, according to the movie continuity at least, he was...
Yeah, in his 90s.
Like, early 90s, late 80s, something like that. The Hobbit movies take place, like, 70 years. Well, okay, it's 50 years. Like, okay, Bilbo's 50 in The Hobbit.
Yes.
He's 111. 100 and whatever.
Yeah.
In,
so that's 61 years.
So that's 60. And then there's, in the book there were decades between that birthday party and the start of Frodo's quest. Although in the book,
continuity.
They kind of make it look like it was just like a few weeks or something.
So the continuity pooch has been screwed.
Well, no.
Well,
I'm okay
about this.
I'm okay with them taking liberties when they make the movie.
Yeah.
Because they've made a lot of stuff better, to be honest.
Now, actually, and that's not my issue with that, is because if Strider is in his 18s, 20s,
right.
He can be 80 by the time you get to.
Okay, but it's kind of weird that he already has his reputation.
Yeah,
for
why would he already be a ranger?
Eowyn said something about Aragorn fighting alongside like her grandfather.
Yeah, that was also an extended edition of Two Towers, where he's like, Théoden has a good memory. He was a boy at the time.
Let me explain all this. Now, the original race of men had a much longer life.
Yes, they talk about.
Yeah, I know that.
Aragorn's
one
of those last.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I'm not saying it's okay. It's perfectly fine for him to be that old. I'm just saying
the numbers
as they presented here don't seem to make sense that he was at least in his 20s when Hobbit was.
And already a ranger with a nickname.
Like more time
been,
passed.
It just means about time he was in his 20s,
he
was that much of a badass.
100 and something.
But that's not the age they gave.
Yeah, exactly.
In The Lord of the Rings, they gave us an age.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have. But
because in the books they
I guess it was
they
only bring
timeline.
They only bring it up in the extended edition, so maybe it's not canon.
Maybe
or
that's
whatever,
why they took it out.
Yeah,
and it's
although I consider the extended editions canon.
Well, in the books though, he is 87.
It's 12 hours.
They say it in the novels that Aragorn is 87 by the end of it. So they established that.
Okay, so that number didn't make much sense.
But my whole problem is just the fact that he knows who Strider is as a ranger and tells him to go to him. And I understand
there
that they established
even the inclusion
Legolas.
Of Legolas at all was a little bit too much of for fan wavery.
Have you seen the how it should have ended? For it,
no. They added
it for the
Destination
one that they don't want already. That's
well, yeah, there was for Destination. Yeah. I think
I saw that.
Smog, where Legolas just comes out and goes Black Arrow and shoots.
Yeah, he just kills
Smog.
I'm not even in this book. I don't even know why I'm here.
No, but okay, another.
And, you know, Legolas being there is not terrible.
Okay,
in
another
the last
nitpicky
movie,
issue
well, because his dad is that is the character in The Hobbit, and they do say that is his father.
My last nitpicky issue with this newest Hobbit, though. At the very beginning, when Bard is squaring off against Smog, his bow breaks and he has to do this elaborate
thing with his kid,
like pegs that like bowstring the other side of a tower and uses his kid to balance it. Smog was being awful accommodating, not letting him do
yeah,
all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just sitting there looking
Smog
at
the
him.
Dragon, you can't. He's like,
well, Smog was just talking to him, like, "Hey, bitch." Like, after that,
It's like, why didn't you go up to him and just eat him while he's getting all this stuff together?
Well, in all fairness, guys, they do establish, at least in the novel, that Smog is an arrogant son of a bitch.
He is.
He toys with Bilbo. He could have killed Bilbo at any time.
He enjoys hanging out.
Yes, Bilbo also did not have a giant
arrow pointed at him. Smog was one of the best parts of this film trilogy to me.
Yeah, I would agree.
Smog.
However the hell you want to say it. I've always thought it was just Smog.
Nah, I just said Smog.
Do we want to talk about the interview?
It sounded like I was just crapping all over the movie. I thought it was pretty
good.
It was good.
I don't think you were. The mechanics in the Legolas fight is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Though. Oh, yeah, like
in
slow motion.
What the hell,
dude,
man?
Dude, him ollieing on a rail sliding an elephant wasn't...
having to have Legolas not just... kill this guy instantly with arrows.
Also, the
and this one he had run out.
It's the most ridiculous thing. It's a paragraph in the book.
Yeah,
when Oak and Shield dies.
Yeah,
it's not very long. The fight in the book is very.
It
short.
Was better in this. I thought.
I will agree.
They
yeah,
extended it out. It's
but it's so long.
Did you say
man.
Legolas doing something unbelievable? Wasn't he like rail sliding on an elephant?
He
does that all the time. I'm talking about staircase. Like in the second movie that Bolg or whatever
Legolas
that like second in command or he could have killed him like 800 times in the second movie just shooting him with an arrow but it's just like no I'm gonna fist fight this motherfucker.
Who was the guy that you were talking about?
Although it did lead to one of my favorite
or something like that.
One of my favorite memes I've ever
like
seen.
Colton
it's just like Legolas standing there nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Yeah.
Calling him Iron
Foot. Talking about movies, do you want to touch on the interview? The news story that really wasn't a news story. It still made $15 million.
Now they're
it came
like,
out.
Now they're saying like the leak may have been from somebody inside
You can
Sony.
Go watch it on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
It's like $6 or $7 to if you want to pay for like a premium or whatever.
It's on Google
you can
Play.
Go see it at the Battlecourt.
Yeah.
It's on Xbox.
It's more distributed than it ever could have been.
So let me ask everybody this, because this movie actually made more money streaming on the internet.
I kind of
want
to see it now.
Then they thought it was going to make in the box office if it would have had the full release that it was scheduled to have. So, in the future, will we see more straight to digital releases?
Maybe.
On,
I mean,
I think
this
is
accidentally maybe became a proof of concept.
I hope
for just releasing it straight
on that.
Well, a lot
of independent stuff has been
guys.
Doing this for a while.
Oh, you're right, but it doesn't get the same sort of promotion.
If they release
this movie,
Avengers,
got a very specific style of promotion. Not,
I know.
Not
you can't do that. You can't do.
You can never recreate the situation.
That may be true. I mean, if they released, we were just talking about Imitation Game. If they released that straight on the streaming, it probably wouldn't make a lot.
No, because you tell anybody they can't, and they immediately want.
But
I want to see it now just despite
but
Kim
let me
Jong-un.
Ask you this.
Exactly.
Would the Imitation Game have, I mean, I'm not sure how much money the Imitation Game made this weekend.
And
but,
not as much as The Hobbit, which is probably telling because that was like
but
a third week movie.
Would movies like that, the movies that are released up against movies that were released a week ago that they know are still going to capture the weekend box office, they had no intention of the Imitation Game being number one in the box office.
No.
Would it not be better for them to also release that movie digital the same day? Give people that option.
Maybe.
Open it up more to a bigger audience. Because I would rent The Imitation Game for $5 on Google Play.
But
I'm not going to the theaters.
If they released Age of Ultron in the theaters and simultaneously had the paid premium to watch it on YouTube, I would still go see it in the theater just because, like, that's the that's a popcorn experience.
Well, there are definitely people that would see those more art house style films
at home.
I would probably Imitation Game. Yes, I feel like I would rather sit down and watch that at my leisure.
Those sorts of movies,
and those are the kind of movies where you could, like, foreign films stuff like that. You could kind of give all you could do is, like, put Netflix on it and say, "Oh, Netflix exclusively releases this art house film."
And I think Netflix would pay for that exclusivity, man.
And then all of a sudden you were like, "Oh, awesome, I already have Netflix.
Boom.
I'm going to watch this movie."
Exactly.
That's the only way I can watch this movie right now.
Exactly. Like, I Frankenstein, it's on Netflix. I would never watch that unless it was on Netflix.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'll watch everything on Netflix.
Yeah.
Love I thought that the thing that turned me off of that movie the most, the reason I didn't go see it, that it's just a dumb name.
Yeah. I Frankenstein. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. It's supposed to be like iRobot, I guess?
I don't know.
I don't know. It looks like Van Helsing, and I'm sorry, but that was the worst.
That was terrible.
No, I hear that title, I expect it to be sponsored by Apple.
It doesn't matter.
I expect it to be
Well, that's going to be out in the movie looking like a dumb piece of shit.
I mean, there is
him
reaching for his individuality and that sort of aspect to it, but yeah, the name of it sounds is weird. Yeah.
It's pretty much just an action movie. Walking
it's the
I
Frankenstein Jubble.
I'm sorry, guys. Frankenstein was the scientist. The monster is the monster.
Yeah.
If it was called, like, I Monster.
That's the most
Except in DC Comics.
Oh, yeah.
People
she doesn't do anything.
Yeah, Link is the person you play as. We also call
she
Link Zelda.
She sleeps through most of the games.
They should make the Legend of Link and it be the princess saving Link.
Oh, I would play that.
Just completely swap it up.
I'd play that.
I would love to play a gendered Zelda game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the rumor about the new Zelda game is that person with the ponytail that's riding on a horse with the arrows might actually be Zelda.
And you might be able to play Link
play
or
as
dog.
Both. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
See, at the beginning of the game, you just have a whole little thing of, "Bitch, I'm tired of saving your butt. Come save mine."
Yeah. All I'm saying is,
well,
I just don't want to
make any sense anymore. Because they're different reincarnations of Zelda and Link. It's not like they would have memories of being whatever. Yeah.
But that was
everyone has multiple personalities.
That's too nerdy right now. Let's get
that's what we're about. Yeah,
she can have, is too nerdy.
Well,
she could be like,
"Nerdy's
in my
fine,
past
that's
life,
my new show, right?
You, your past life saved me."
I just don't want to see Ganondorf anymore, man.
With Ganon. I'm okay if they do someone new, though.
Okay.
I don't want them to do this thing that they do sometimes where it's someone else the whole time, then it's Ganon.
Like Twilight Princess?
I hate that.
That was the worst part. I've been pulling the strings the whole time! One of the best...
There's a trope on TVTropes.org that's named Replaced by Ganon.
Yeah.
He's like, someone else. Oh, no, it's the same old guy.
Yeah.
that's the worst. Twilight Princess is easily one of the best Zelda games right up until Ganondorf.
Yeah,
and it
I
takes
still think
right
it's my
out
favorite.
Of the game.
It's fun. It's
I thought
fun.
It was handled well.
It is handled pretty well, but at the same time,
I can't see complaints about how Zant was really cool until he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my problem with the game. It's a really great game. It's a new look at the series. No Ganondorf was the best part of that
Ganondorf.
Game.
Ganondorf?
That's my calling that.
I see Gimli with like...
You are a bitch! Ready for it!
That's my point. It's just this... Here's this little pig fucker, once again, in another game where I didn't want to fight him. At least Mario fights other people besides Bowser occasionally.
I can kind of see a Terrence and Phillip song out of that.
He fought Wart in Mario 2.
Oh, yeah. Please. The Dream Frog? The Dream Frog? Hated that thing. It was a dream.
My brain, trying to think. He fought in Super Paper Mario. He fought Count Black or whatever.
And in
Paper Mario 2, he fought someone that wasn't Bowser.
Those don't count.
I love Paper Mario.
It's like the ultimate universe. It's like a totally different two-dimensional universe.
They're different franchises, certainly. Yeah. I can't think of a
like
mainstream
when you play
Mario
the
game.
Bad
like a Super
thing
Mario
is,
Brothers
you play
game.
Sunshine, you
except
think
for
playing
two.
Just against that other Mario.
The Shadow Mario, yeah.
Yeah. Sunshine, that's a great game.
Who do you fight at the end of it?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Bowser.
It was like, that's what I was, when I was playing it, I was like...
Yeah. That would be a twist.
Dude, I would love that.
That'd be awesome. I think that Mario would get his ass handed to him by Ganondorf.
But
Ganondorf's way more menacing than
Bowser. I would love to see Link versus Bowser.
Link would crush Bowser. Bowser wouldn't even be a mini boss. Yeah. He'd just be like a regular ass enemy.
Bowser couldn't
fight.
Take the centipede, which is also I'm sick of. I get it. I'm going to cut off the last piece of the centipede, and it's going to get smaller. It's like reverse snake.
Yeah.
Every time.
It is
every
single time.
It is. It's reverse snake. What else are we going to
talk about? We were talking about movies.
Yeah.
Any other movies you want to talk about? Did you see Snowpiercer yet?
I haven't seen Snowpiercer.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
It is fun.
It is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that film.
Me too.
Actually, I saw it in theaters.
Oh, did you?
I saw it at the Belcourt.
No, I didn't see it in theaters. I just saw it on Netflix. Yeah.
It almost cost us Chris Evans as Captain America. Yeah, I don't know if you remember hearing about that, because he helped direct that film. That he was like, yeah, you know, maybe I should just
direct
and not act anymore.
Well,
but I
it wasn't that good, Chris.
Yeah,
it was good. It wasn't that good.
I want Civil War. I want it.
I'm only...
I want it.
Chris Evans can branch out his career as much as he likes, and I'm cool with it, but he's great in Captain America, and I would be sorry to see him go.
As soon as Cap dies, go do whatever you want, Chris, but keep Cap in there until the plot, you know, finds
you've come a long way from sticking a banana in your ass.
Oh, come on.
What?
He was in that Not Another Teen movie.
Yeah.
He was the
He had black hair.
Holy shit.
I
did not know that.
Yeah, your reference.
Okay, I've seen Not Another Teen movie, and I did not realize that was him.
They were making a parody of Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
Yeah. He was standing in for Ali Lauder.
Man.
When she come out with the whipped cream and the strategically placed spots. He come out with the whipped cream and strategically placed spots. But he had a banana in his ass.
Yep. That happened. That was cool.
I remember the movie. I did not realize that
Jules,
was
and there's your Captain America.
There's Captain America.
Chris Evans has got a pretty decent amount of range as an actor. In Scott Pilgrim, he was he was maybe my favorite part of that movie.
He was my favorite part. Yeah. Definitely my favorite part of that movie.
No, the best part of Scott Pilgrim was the fight at the end.
No, dude.
No,
the fight with all the extras.
Scott Pilgrim
is the best.
Has learned the power of self-respect.
And Chris Evans' eyebrows.
No.
In Scott Pilgrim.
No.
The best part.
I love all these
Roxy
posters.
Yeah, fight.
Like, he's like standing there like in the like romantic comedy one. He's like staring wistfully at the sunset. He's like, kiss me, I'm dying.
Yeah. The Roxy Richter fight was better than the Chris Evans fight.
Which one? Because it literally ends in him just being so arrogant he dies.
I like the Brandon Routh fight quite a bit. Scott Pilgrim's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's an awesome movie. Based on an awesome comic book that
I love the vegan police are the only way he was able to that be
was
the,
that was Thomas
it's
Jane.
It's classic now.
One of them was Thomas Jane.
Really?
One of the vegan police was Thomas Jane.
Man, I need to watch these movies. I didn't recognize any of these
Thomas
people.
Thomas Jane is in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Cameo. Speaking of Captain America, supposedly.
Yeah, Brandon Routh.
Punisher and Captain America.
Driving the Penske truck.
Yeah.
You know, the
Brandon
Punisher.
Brandon Routh was great in that movie.
You had Superman, the Punisher, Captain America, Katara.
Michael Cera was good in that.
Yeah. Michael Cera is pretty good in that. Wow, I never thought
because Roxy Richter was the voice of Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Michael Cera.
No shit.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Arrested Development, I can't get over him in that. That's always how I see Michael.
Yeah, he'll always be George Michael.
George Michael Bluth.
I just always remember him from Superbad.
That was the Porky's for the other generation.
I was of an appropriate age for that movie when it came out.
I was not anywhere near a junior in high school.
And it was about
the Porky's. Are you kidding me?
But no. I still watched it.
Oh, dude,
I'm talking about Superbad.
Yeah,
well,
Porky's has not aged well.
Oh no!
You could not do that movie again.
No, well, there's a lot of stuff.
You got my cherry.
Oh my
Why do they call you meat?
She's a freshman, dude.
Not go back to Porky's.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
And all of its sequels.
Watch that. Yeah, the boat one's the best one. Porky's suit with the boat.
It's from an era of comedy that doesn't really fly too well these days. Like
it's
Animal House is
correct.
In that same.
Yeah. It's not politically correct anymore.
Animal House, they do some rotten stuff.
They
do some terrible stuff.
Animal House, I think.
Like tricking those girls into going to dinner with them and then abandoning them in the restaurant.
There's a high school girl who has... You know, goes to the frat
house. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the fucking statutory rape.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't want to just come out and say, that one dude rapes a guy in Animal House.
And nerds.
The panty raid.
He pulls a bait and switch.
Oh, he does it with the Darth Vader mask. He does. But then she's down with it. She loves every minute of it.
Terrible movie.
Terrible movie. Oh my goodness.
The 80s were despicable.
I'm really booger!
You could get away with a lot of stuff in the 80s.
How were we able to do that?
Because there was only two ratings, G and R.
What's this?
There was nothing
shit.
In between.
I
actually wasn't, you know.
Because people were less 10, sensitive back then.
11.
Yeah. It's not like we were making
it. Yeah, we weren't making it.
Yeah,
it
was.
But yeah, they got away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Statutory, yeah, dude. The bait and switch and Revenge of the
Nerds. Yeah, I've had my kids watch some of the 80s movies with us, and I'm sitting there watching, going, "How the hell did they get away with that?"
And why did my mom let me watch this?
Yeah, even in stuff like Monster Squad, where like the kids are running around cussing up a storm with the guns. And
there was no parental advisory. Parents were not the anal retentive.
And a 5-year-old can send a letter to the army, and the army shows up.
Yeah.
See, I remember my parents taking me to see Who Framed Roger Rabbit when I was a kid, and my parents were very straight-laced Christian people, didn't like us watching bad movies, and I can remember my dad watching this movie going, covering my eyes.
Her parents would not even let her watch Dirty Dancing.
What's his name? Dr. Doom or whatever.
It was Judge
Doom. Judge Doom. Whatever, the bad guy at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, he's one of the scariest motherfucking things I've ever seen.
That was Christopher.
It was terrifying.
The whole thing is, like dissolving people in acid.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a man. Cartoon.
They were like people.
Virtually, Mickey Mouse. Our people
that's
to
what
you.
This dude wanted to do.
Yeah, that's
cool. I like,
kill
Mickey Mouse. Yeah, it's like Roger Rabbit or like a copyright standpoint. Like, I have like Donald Duck and Daffy Duck having a piano duel in that one.
Yeah, well, in Roger Rabbit, the only reason why you were able to get Donald Duck and Daffy Duck
and Bugs Bunny
and Mickey Mouse on the same was Warner Brothers agreed to it as long as they shared the same screen, same amount of screen time. So that's why you would have Disney and Mickey and Bugs.
Make sure they didn't mess that up for any amount of time. They just put all the Disney and the Warner Brothers characters in all the same scene.
Hey, speaking of sharing people, I think I heard that maybe, just maybe, the Spider-Man thing is not dead.
Yeah. I've heard it's not dead. I heard that from the Sony.
He's going to go for a walk!
The Sony hack released that in January they are also meeting again. They're having a second Spidey Summit is what they're referring to.
I saw a webcomic somebody made of like the Avengers are like in a hostage negotiation and Sony's got a gun to Spider-Man's head.
So, question, who would you want to see as Spider-Man now? Obviously Andrew Garfield is out.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield, I heard that he was
Donald
out
Glover?
Of Sony. Yeah, I heard Donald Glover is my number one choice.
Awesome! Would be awesome.
Have you heard
and
his stand-up?
Disney had asked him, and he does do the voice of Miles
on the animated.
In the animated series.
Yes.
Now, if you go to his, he's got a stand-up hour on Netflix. Go watch it, because
he talks about it.
How that blew up. How he said, oh yeah, I love playing Spider-Man, on Twitter, in one Twitter post, and it exploded. And like his phone was ringing off the hook for like the next 2 weeks.
It became like a culture war.
It did.
Like,
and it was so
funny.
His best
statement about that is actually, he didn't say anything to anyone until somebody was like, what? We could just have Donald Glover being Spider-Man? That's like Michael Cera being Shaft.
He was the inspiration for Miles Morales in the comics.
Yeah.
That whole feud inspired Michael Bendis. That's part of his stand-up.
And
he says, that's like Michael Cera playing Shaft. He said, the only thing I could say is, Michael Cera being Shaft would be awesome! Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it would!
Shut your mouth!
Yeah, that's what he says. But definitely watch that. That's on Netflix. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, another thing that leaked out with the Sony thing is that they're considering having the first ever black James Bond.
Idris Elba is one of those badass men.
I would watch.
That would
Bond
be.
I know I would go too. To the theater and watch that movie.
His response to that was the most peaceful
really like the guy
thing ever.
Skyfall was amazeballs. Yeah. I'm sure this next one will be great. But moving on to the next one, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Like you were saying,
But his response.
I don't know. A black James Bond, and it's not going to be Samuel L. Jackson.
No,
James Bond can be black, but he has got to be British.
Yeah.
If you see the King's Man, Samuel Jackson is the bad guy in that movie, or an American Wolverine.
So when the Brits think of a bad guy, they think of Samuel Jackson for us.
But in all fairness, guys, Idris Elba says, "I thought James Bond only had to be two things: British and good looking."
Exactly.
Right.
And that is the best
that
response to whether
exactly.
he can be
that
black
is,
or white. He's like, he's got to be British and good
looking. Yeah, but here's the problem. The most known James Bond ever is Scottish.
That's British. To be British, you have to be part of the British Isles.
And that's Scotland.
That's England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
Are we ready for a Welsh James Bond?
He's still Scottish.
No, but there's never going to be a Welsh James
There may be a Welsh James Bond, but he will not be from Wales in the movie. They'll say, no, he's not from over there.
Well, I think
he's
in the
here.
Movie continuity,
no,
he's Scottish.
From, yes. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Skyfall, he went back to like his Scottish estate
Scottish
or whatever.
Yeah.
But okay, Idris Elba James Bond would be the shit.
It would be awesome.
The shit, but the
does he look
so
like
awesome.
A bitch to you?
Yeah. No, but how close to getting the Welsh James Bond?
Yes.
They asked Christian Bale to play James Bond, and he said no.
No.
Because he was Batman already.
No.
He was Batman already, and he even said, no, I don't want to play those two characters.
Yeah.
Hey, all
that's
I,
good.
All I hear,
that's fine. His Bruce
all
Wayne
I hear
basically
is I'm James Bond.
Bond.
So,
but he is Welsh as well.
Yeah.
And he said no.
Just throwing that out there for all the movie buffs out there, the new epic rap battle is hilarious.
Which one is it?
Oh, Lord, we'll be seeing it from
Steven
our son.
Spielberg versus Alfred Hitchcock.
I saw,
oh,
that,
I saw that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, but
I
like
it was
Michael,
like a new one to or like,
but then like,
yeah,
they bring
no,
in like Stanley Kubrick.
Tarantino. What's his name? Stanley Kubrick and Michael Bay.
Oh, wow.
All the other guys are talking shit about Michael Bay and the Michael Bay shows up.
Fuck all of you!
I know how to make money. That's what it's about.
Money.
Heck yeah.
I actually
one of the amazing ones I saw was Bonnie and Clyde versus Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Yes.
Spoiler alert, they all die at the end.
Why don't you just go ahead and ruin Titanic while you're at it?
The current season is the Ghostbusters versus the Mythbusters.
That was good.
That was kind of good.
Side note, I've never finished Titanic. I walked out as a 7-year-old.
And you never walked back in.
The movie's terrible.
After
spoiler,
45
spoiler
minutes,
spoiler alert, the boat
movie.
Goes down.
After the lead characters like do it in that car, it's awesome.
I never
from that moment.
I
oh,
never
it
made
is.
It that far.
They never made it. That
45 minutes.
This is like the funniest way to describe the point
seriously.
To start watching.
It is when you see them
dude
doing it
right
in the car,
when they're banging in the car.
When they're banging in the car from then on, it's awesome.
I know. When the last thing you see is
when
this.
When they're first
yes, exactly.
The movie, that's when it gets good for me.
In all fairness, guys, I was sold on that movie. My dad was like, "Jules, you're gonna love it." Like, no, it's supposed to be this big picture.
Like,
I directed Terminator 2 and Aliens. We go see it 45 minutes.
Mean.
I you know, my dad didn't know what we were gonna. He just knew the Titanic sank. So we go to this movie.
Your dad wanted
I'm
the Terminator to show up on the Titanic and kill DiCaprio.
Yeah, I'm 7 years old. 45 minutes. It takes us 45 minutes to get to the setting. I was like, you know what, Dad?
I'm
done.
Sorry,
I stood up and I said, everyone dies, the boat sinks, and I walked down and I asked for my money back.
The best part of that movie is if you look
never
at
saw
that,
the film
that raft that girl's on at the very end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
There's enough room for two people on that raft.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Mythbusters did that.
What the hell?
Mythbusters
like
actually
James
did that.
Cameron movies,
I
it relies on tropes pretty
oh,
heavily.
Everyone.
But, you know, it's
everyone.
Fine.
But yeah, he makes obviously makes great movies.
I mean, as a filmmaker, I have a lot of respect for James Cameron just because he knows the shit that he's
yes.
working with.
Yeah,
like,
but as
tech-wise.
A husband, he apparently sucks.
Oh,
so.
definitely.
But you know what killed that marriage is him telling her about Avatar and she laughed at his face. And I was like,
that's bad.
That's just like, dances what? With wolves in space. That's stupid.
Wrong.
Oh,
God.
Yeah, burn
going. He pitched it as dances
with
wolves
in space.
And she laughed.
Yeah.
And that fight is what
started
their divorce, according to court papers.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's sad. Fun.
Avatar.
And that is
the
sign that
Avatar
the
is
the
wolves in space.
They're
the
doing three more.
From Fern Gully
you haven't heard this? They are doing three more Avatar films. James Cameron is helming them. They have a combined three more Avatar films.
Really?
They have a combined budget of over $1 billion. And James Cameron has been quoted as saying, "This will make you crap your pants." It's so good.
I didn't like the first
one. Well, he needs to get his
I
ass
the first
gear.
I didn't
like
think the first one was like this life-changing experience.
No,
that was fine.
It was fine.
It was
Pocahontas.
Yeah,
but then, I was
I
didn't
give a damn about the story. The effects in that movie were
I want to see
better.
The effects were great, but I went in expecting a great movie. Like everybody said it was.
It was a mediocre movie.
I expected more from James Cameron.
It's a
spectacle
movie.
I expected more from him. That they don't hold up.
Titanic was a spectacle. That's all it was. The boat, that was all spectacle.
Right. Well,
when
I mean,
you have
the best thing about Avatar
amazing,
the movie,
there was a very
trope
heavy
love
story.
That's true. When we move on, 20 years from now, those effects are nothing.
That's a right. fair point. I mean, even the stuff that blows our mind today, it's going to look pretty passé, you know, even a decade
well, I mean,
from
like, if you've never seen The Matrix, and you watch it now, it's not that big of a deal.
But here's the thing about Avatar.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's real. Like Matrix, not anymore.
I don't think that anyone will ever try to recreate Avatar the way that Cameron did it, with the dots on everybody's faces, the extent to motion capturing that he took.
But here's what I'm going
to
say.
There are total scenes
that.
Where everybody is, I mean, everything in that movie is fake. Everything.
Is there a point where we're going to hit terminal special effects?
I think Avatar
is that effect.
You know, if you look at Advanced Warfare, Kevin Spacey looks like Kevin Spacey.
He does.
In that video.
He really does.
I don't think we need.
Do you guys see the Clueless Gamer where Conan O'Brien plays video
that?
Games?
No.
He played Advanced Warfare and talked about the soulless eyes of Kevin Spacey.
But in all fairness, what I'm saying is
there's this really funny part. Like, it takes him like 50 tries to get across a street. For some reason, people are rushing like 50 miles an hour in the middle of a war zone. But then, like, he realizes after like his 60th try, he makes it across. Oh, there was a bridge over there.
What I'm trying to say is the special effects are good in that movie right now.
In Avatar.
Yeah. But it's not going to stand the test of time because Star Wars at the time was the greatest special effects ever. And obviously those effects don't stand the test of time. But the story is the reason
When I watch a movie, I want to see story.
A lot of practical effects.
All that extra stuff doesn't matter, man.
Can be remastered to be higher resolution.
Right.
You can't really do that with CG.
Let me say this.
Hey, that's if it's... Yeah. You have to like build it up on a computer.
Let me rephrase what I said. Because of the extent of CGI, doing everything with computers, I don't think anybody is going to do motion capture to the extent that James Cameron did it in Avatar. Meaning that Avatar is a movie that, from a special effects standpoint, is timeless. Because it's
Maybe.
The one time
that's
that...
working under the assumption.
Of course, it is working under assumption. But what they're doing is working under assumption saying that in 20 years from now, people are going to forget all about Avatar because the special effects are going to eclipse it. And what I'm saying is they won't because those special effects will be a throwback.
I'm sure film buffs
now,
are always going to like take note of the milestones.
I think
like
that's the milestone.
But here's the thing.
It sure
Here's the perfect example of do they work 20 years apart? Tron. Tron 1, Tron 2. They had similar effects.
Yeah.
They did upgrade a little bit for
they
the
were
newer
done
one.
Totally different.
What killed Tron 2 was the story.
You're right.
Yeah. Pixar's
but the effects,
special effects were
the effects
like,
were all right.
The effects were brilliant.
Pant shitting awesome. They were
awesome.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Legacy.
I mean,
it lost a bit of its heart and soul when it moved
that's
over.
That's
a good example, though, of
the effects could be better,
like
but if the story's
not
there, you're not going to care about it.
I'd like to call
this the Indiana Jones effect.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones movies have always been stupid. Yes. No matter what your nostalgia tells you, the plots of the first three movies
are dumb as hell.
Were dumb as shit.
Campy as hell.
And they're filled with these like cheesy moments, like you're going down the
but
sled on a lifeboat.
Fun.
They are.
Have you watched
the Temple of Doom?
Crystal
Mine,
have you
Skull,
seen where,
I don't crap on as much. It's equally as stupid.
Have you
it
seen
is.
The Big Bang
Maybe
Theory?
Maybe he doesn't have the
where,
or whatever.
Amy
was talking to Sheldon.
Weird feel.
There's too much Shia LaBeouf.
Way too
obviously too much Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
And,
well, apparently
Shia
agreed too.
In Big Bang Theory, Amy told Sheldon
trilogy,
that Indiana Jones was not necessary for the whole movie. Because anything he tried to do, it happened regardless whether he tried to stop it or not.
Right.
But I love the movies.
Big Bang Theory's putting out a couple of theories like that.
But I love the movies. But it's like people liking the old trilogy of Star Wars versus disliking the prequel trilogy. There was so much CGI to it.
The prequel
I actually like it.
You're a fool.
I actually
prequel trilogy
I'm not a fool.
Shit.
I actually like them.
There
because here's the thing. What you don't
just because
what you
like it.
What you don't here's
I'm
thing.
Just not going to be
okay.
Okay.
What you don't like
but,
about
you
the
know.
Prequel trilogy is what you do like about the original trilogy. It's just you have that nostalgia to it. If you
not
watch
really.
Them,
the prequel,
bad acting,
the prequel trilogy,
the bad
prequel
acting,
had to live up to the original trilogy, and it didn't deliver.
It didn't.
He's
no,
right.
No, no.
He's
it didn't.
Right.
It didn't live up because it from your generation.
Okay.
I'm not begrudging
but,
the
but,
special effects.
But it's the exact story.
It fails from the storytelling.
I just want to say one thing. If you really face it, Star Wars is not the world's greatest movie.
It's not.
It's not.
All right.
But from nostalgia,
people
we think
built
that.
It up. No. They have so much hope, and every any prequel trilogy is going to piss people off.
Yeah.
The next movie is going to upset everybody. Of the population, if not
take
everybody.
Take off the name Star Wars, okay. And those movies are still shit.
Okay, hold on.
Actually, I like
them. Even forget nostalgia, I'm 24. Okay, so I had all six. And as a child who grew up with all six, as opposed to somebody who's older, I have no nostalgia for the original trilogy. I grew up with all six at once. And I will take the original three over the new six. And that's not to say because of nostalgia. I grew up with all... I had all six.
There's a certain era original series... The original
ask yourself some basic questions about the story of the episode one.
Yeah.
Episode one is
they
a
go
pod
to the
It is 45
minutes.
They
spend most of the movie going to the Galactic Senate.
Yes.
Just,
but
to,
then they,
just to go just, right back
and they
do everything
do
they could have done.
Anything when they get there.
Exactly.
They're like, hey, they have made it our planet. No, we did it. Oh, we'll believe them.
Look at, let's
fine,
look at,
we'll just go shoot
let's
up
look
the place.
At the, okay. The
that was a complete
but look at the,
waste of
yeah.
time.
But you look at the original movie.
Yeah.
The Death Star.
I can at least understand why they're
for 30 weak. Minutes
before
when
it
didn't
take
before it lines up.
I
okay,
can see that.
Why did you line up there? Why didn't you use to get
at least
right
they gave
to
me
it.
Lip service to a
yeah,
reason.
They at least
but
had
I'm saying,
a reason
but I'm
for
saying,
doing it.
But the problem, what I'm saying is everything you don't like about the prequels, is wrong with the original.
Okay,
trilogy.
Let's ask some more questions. Oh, okay. So,
it really is.
What did Darth Maul do other than look badass and have that one fight scene?
Nothing.
All right. Darth Vader opens the movie with killing people.
Darth Vader.
Where
is
the plan for
the
Death Star?
Let's kill the best lightsaber battle of all movies. Episodes 1 and 2, the big problem from a pure movie point of view, there's very little story in episode 1 and 2.
The only thing it needed to do was take a young Anakin to become an older Anakin and go to the dark side.
How much lamer is Darth Vader now that we know his
Darth
Vader's
a lot more lame.
Yes,
with the prequel trilogy.
But you already knew that if you read the book.
And so was
but that, no,
we're bringing expanded those. Universe into this.
No, I'm talking about the original book that George Lucas wrote.
But no. If
it
you're taking
about
the movies,
him being
you
a
have to just take the movie.
George Lucas went with the original concept of Star Wars. It would be the story of Mace Windu and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Can I have a lightsaber, please?
But I like to think of it in the same way as those... as the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot. Yes, they are nowhere near Star Trek in their heart. But if you look at them as actual movies, there are so many problems with that. Kirk and Sulu are on that thing that's shooting into the Earth.
The orbital ring.
The orbital thing. And they fall after Spock is told that the red matter is destroying Vulcan, so he runs to the transporter room. Well, where does he go? Because Sulu and Kirk fall. And then, what's his name? Chekhov is like, oh, I know how to do that, and then runs to the transporter room, does his thing. Those two come back, and then here comes Spock. Well, where the hell was Spock?
Got lost.
Those movies are bad because they are bad movies. Episode 1 is a bad movie.
Actually,
it's
like
okay for Star Wars as far as story goes, telling story, but it's just a bad movie.
People tend to get overly passionate
Star
about
Wars
these things because they are from sacred franchises, but we can't objectively make
objectively
arguments
look,
about
it's
oh,
a 45
I can
the first movie.
The original trilogy on episode one. It's a 2-hour commercial for toys.
Boom.
That's a good point.
The video game.
Okay, the original trilogy
game.
We tend to lie.
I like that pod race.
Silence.
I like the pod race game.
God, silence. Okay. We tend to lionize the original trilogy. That's true. It's not as great as we usually depict it as. But there are archetypes.
There's
like a quintessential story to it that stands the test of time.
They are remakes of good classic movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe not remakes of movies, but they definitely borrow these tropes, these archetypes, these storytelling elements that we've seen a thousand times and that have stood the test of time.
We did not need Jar Jar. We did not need a
You did need Jar Jar.
I love Jar Jar.
You needed the
You needed a stupid...
But Thulsa, you will need one that does this for an hour and a half. No. No,
we're not even talking about the racist.
That was supposed to be
boom.
The bring the kids in character.
And you know what they stole from the kids?
It's a kids movie.
Yoda was in no way...
Okay.
No, but the Ewoks were created to bring in the Ewoks.
But yeah. Yoda definitely brought in the Ewoks. Kids, and people hate the Ewoks.
But they brought in kids. I actually like the Ewoks.
I was 9 years old. Yeah, I'm showing my age here. When episode one came out, and I hated Jar Jar.
I hated Jar Jar.
Jar Jar was like watching Sesame Street. And like dumb Sesame Street. I want to watch the Jedi's kick ass. That's why we see a Star Wars film.
Yes.
I don't want to watch this fucking
first character.
Episode 1, Episode 2 did not feel like a Star Wars film. Episode 3 felt like a Star Wars film.
That's what I'll say of the final, of the last, that feels like a Star Wars film. I agree.
To be perfectly fair,
Sith was the only one that felt like Star Wars.
The prequel trilogy did have better fights.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliantly
choreographed. And that's the only reason to watch
Episode 1 actually have the Force being used in a
pretty much. Okay. Looked a lot better.
Pretty much the arena fight on is the best part of episode 2.
I agree.
Well, episode 1, I don't think there's a better lightsaber battle.
No, there isn't.
There's no better lightsaber battle than the one in the reactors.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, when episode 2 really gets interesting is when they're on Geonosis and they're having the arena fight. And it's all the Jedi's pop up.
Oh yeah, that's
then,
good.
That then when they get awesome. Then when they get slaughtered, the clone troopers. Come
I like the one where it's Obi-Wan and Yoda
fight. The Yoda fight is a good fight.
I love that.
Yoda versus Count Dooku. That was
An awesome
total
one.
Fan service, but I ate it up.
That's what I'm
saying. A huge Star Wars fan.
That's the best.
I loved that scene.
Well, can I also say, talking about lightsaber battles, that the lava fight was kind of lame.
Yeah, it is.
The way they ended it was super lame. It was like, I have the high ground, so I'm...
You doubt my power!
He sounds just like him.
Here's the thing.
You doubt my power and just levitated 5 feet.
Yeah.
Instead of jumping straight at him like a
shot light.
Like the part in episode 2 where Count Dooku and Anakin were fighting in the dark. I liked how it looked like when you had in Empire Strikes Back. You had the Emperor, because it was dark and there's the red and the blue.
It was very good, but it wasn't cool because it was a cool movie. Yeah. It was cool because the original trilogy was cool.
Can we all agree that if George Lucas didn't direct four of the six movies,
that we probably would like the other four?
If he hadn't directed them, we could all agree that the two best Star Wars films were not directed by Lucas.
Was Kirchner and McQuarrie.
Yeah. Empire and Jedi.
Empire's always been my favorite.
Empire is the best film.
Empire, because it ends dark.
And Anthony Daniels, that plays C-3PO, has actually come out and said this movie is better than Empire.
Of course he's going to say it.
To come to Anthony Daniels' defense, Anthony Daniels did disc Lucas. Mm-hmm. He said that Lucas used too much CGI, computer-generated stuff, and it took away from the story.
Style over substance.
That's the only reason why I will give Anthony Daniels
the benefit of the doubt is because he was willing to come out and say something bad about George Lucas.
Yeah.
Well, and they have definitely put a lot more emphasis on practical effects.
Yes.
That
soccer ball droid
BB-2
is a practical effect.
His name is
BB-2. I just want to point out, of course, we're doing the Star Wars launch party for the new comic.
Yeah.
That's the 14th at 12:01 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Well, the 13th into the 14th will be the party.
That's so weird when you're talking about midnight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to say about the original trilogy. They're great popcorn movies. The thing that they do is they overexpose you to everything. Jedi's were cool because you knew nothing about them.
There was like
you
a
had
cool
three
mystique.
Jedi.
Okay, that's actually a good thing.
And then you see
the
a
Force.
Ton of Jedi's, and it cheapens the effect.
The Force was cool because it had like
no
this mystical element to it. There's like this Zen meditative like.
It looks awesome.
You see a billion Jedi.
The strongest practitioner of the Force you see is Yoda, and he talks in riddles most of the time.
Yeah, and is it telepathy? Is it telekinesis?
In the prequel trilogy, which you're making it where it's bacteria in your blood, that you should not introduce science to mysticism like
that.
So now it's like a torrent of questions. If I'm a vampire and I suck a Jedi's blood, do I have the Force?
If I get a transfusion,
I get a blood transfusion.
I have
that. That's what I'm saying. In the comic books, they did say that's the reason why Grievous had Force abilities because they had blood. He had a transfusion from a Jedi.
See, that's stupid.
That's stupid. Yes, that's weird.
Yes, yes. No, and
the, actually, I think that's just funny.
Yeah, there's a cool thing.
That's
funny,
but just funny.
And Midichlorians make the Force a bacteria makes it a cold.
Also,
is there a cure?
The best way to defeat the Force is to use penicillin.
I caught the Force.
Apparently, there's no reason to train because apparently it's predetermined how strong you are with the Force. Yeah.
And
you
it's the same bacteria across different species, across different worlds.
The cool thing about the old school Star Wars was that only certain races
ignorance
were Force-sessed.
Was bliss.
Were, yeah, exactly. You couldn't have the Force if you were ignorant to it. That's only certain cultures were Force-sensitive on a planet. Like Mandalorians, they talk about Boba Fett and all of his culture. Only certain parts of Mandalore were Force sensitive.
Yes.
Only certain Mandalorians could become Jedi, and most of them didn't.
And but didn't know they could.
Didn't know they could.
Didn't realize
that
they
had these weird
powers.
That was the cool thing about that whole story in the old Marvel stuff was if you became aware of the Force and trained it, you could become a Jedi. But there were people who never became Jedi who were Force sensitive, and they never knew it.
Yeah,
that was a cool thing, and then you put the bacteria in it, and it cheapens the idea.
And really, I honestly think that is probably one of the worst things that out of there is.
We could probably explain it in like most of the problems we have with the original trilogy. Sometimes it is better to have a mystique to it.
Yeah. It is.
Leave it
don't
exotic.
Tell us. Yeah. We don't want to know.
Vader's so much
Vader
cooler.
Vader was so much more badass when he had this dark, mysterious past.
What kills me is when you see Vader's face.
The problem is people kept asking for it.
That's the problem. People were asking for it. Oh, we want to know where Darth Vader comes from. He should have said, You really don't.
I know.
Fans don't necessarily recognize that more is not necessarily
better. Right.
That's what the EU stuff is for.
Yes. It's for the people who do want to know. Yeah. No, that's a good point, Larry.
Let it be out there if they want to find it, but don't make it like the quintessential.
In all fairness, guys, that's what ruined Wolverine. Wolverine was awesome until you knew everything about his origin.
And now we know.
And okay, like,
now you know he was a sickly little kid.
Here's a good
we
one.
Should never know the Joker's origin story.
Never.
The writers at DC have realized there is no satisfying answer at this point.
The only thing you should have is that he fell into the vat.
If
you don't need to know anything before that it's Batman's fault that he
Alan
is the
Moore
way
had
is.
The right approach, where even the Joker isn't really sure.
Exactly. Yeah, and you don't even have to have the bat. You can have a lot of...
Well, because it's a great idea that the Joker is Batman's fault.
Yeah.
That is one of the best parts about the Joker and Batman, is that Batman blames himself for who he has become because he knocked him into that thing.
That's okay. It's okay. It works.
That the hero is the origin of the villain?
They don't have to have that.
They don't have to have that, but it does make for a great...
Well, it's about that time. Yeah. We need to wrap up.
All right.
I like how we bookended it with Star Wars ranting.
Yeah.
It's actually really
Any final thoughts?
My final thought, Happy New Year, everybody, but I put it off for months
and
months.
Resolution?
I do not have one. Only to be just as awesome in 2015 as I was in 2014.
So that's not setting a very high bar.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the easiest resolution to keep at.
But
of
I am.
All,
I started watching
cannot
Scandal.
Cannot be less awesome.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Holy crap!
It's awesome.
Holy crap!
Started watching what?
Scandal.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
It's
holy
really
crap! I don't even want to spoil anything, but dude got shot. I about shit myself. Literally, I was like, "What the hell just happened?" It's the best show I haven't been watching. It's brilliant. Go ahead, David.
All right. Well,
I'm going home to watch it now in like an hour. I can't wait.
Oh, this will be my last podcast for the foreseeable future, so see ya.
We'll miss you, man.
Well, let's see how my schedule works out. Then we'll do that. Plus, we got that other thing we were talking about.
Yeah. Look for more Outright Geekers. Yeah. We'll be doing filling in David. You'll get your daily dose of AKA, or your weekly dose of AKA David.
Somehow.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah, I've got to go back to school myself. Christmas break's over now.
And he's a teacher, not a...
Not a student.
Not a student.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's sobering thought. No.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going to see Imitation Game. I've got some friends I want to go see it with.
Nice.
I just want to say, miss you being here, G-Cube.
Yeah, miss you.
Can't wait to come back. You'll be back with me on Friday, but we'll be back here next week.
Cool.
Happy New Year to everyone, and be safe, be healthy, be happy,
and drink
a geek.
Yeah, drink geek drinks. Go to Outright Geekery. We got the top of the lot today is comic drinks. Book cocktails.
That's pretty there you
awesome.
Go.
So, yeah.
There you go.
That's cool.
Are they easy to make?
The Wonder Woman Wobbler would be great right now.
My final thought of 2014's Geeka Square Table. I love you guys. I miss
aww.
You guys.
Aww. This is an ass kisser. He's been gone for 6 months. I love you guys.
I do. This is the best thing I did accidentally. I just said to Gomer, we should do this sometime.
Yeah.
It started with an idea of not accomplishing anything, and we've accomplished so much in this 1 year alone, and it's crazy as hell.
Dude.
And I love you guys, and my 2015 resolution is to be back in geeks
awesome
all the time and do more outright geekery stuff. And yeah, I love you guys.
Oh, you, Larry.
We love you too,
even Larry.
Man.
We love
even
you too, Larry. Man. I love Larry.
Everybody. I like how it has to be even Larry.
Even Larry. And Taylor.
Right? Right?
Yeah. And actually.
Gels, just fashion.
Wait, I got two more things. Good night, Elaine. And suck it, Jules. Even I gotta get on that. Taylor didn't say it at all during the podcast, so I had to say it.
Oh, Jules.
It's awful.
You buffoon.
Well, alright, so definitely. Hopefully have some big things coming away, and you know, and the organization is going to be my personal theme for the new year.
Oh, nice.
You know, trying to get a little more shit together, and I mean that literally. You know,
putting your items.
You know they have colon cleanse.
He's not putting it in per order.
He's going to streamline all his fuck yous this year.
Yeah, so this is just taking all your stuff.
And you let us get saying,
well, you know,
all your movies are bad.
I've moved and been in and out of storage and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I've just got to go through a complete purging of crap.
Yard sale. Maybe.
Yarr. Yeah, never again
I
use getting your shit together and purging in the same line of thought.
No,
yarr. Your choice of metaphor is well understood.
But also, you know, there's a little, you know, I have some personal business ventures, you know, going through. But on the outright geekery note, of course, I'm going to try to get back more into doing some more video stuff.
Nice.
Nice.
You know, hopefully, you know, we can get that going, and you know, and I've already talked about some of the guys off the air, and then Taylor's doing his weird creepy thing. You may notice it from the big white van outside your local school.
That's not okay because he's a teacher.
Yeah,
that's a teacher. It's not okay. So I don't think we can say that. Like, let's no. Let's just no.
I think you went a little too far.
I think this whole podcast got a little too far.
Pulls out the popsicles
wildly.
You know,
that's a podcast.
Yeah. That should be the alternate title to the podcast. Just
you got a little too far. Little too far.
Well,
that's
the only way
that
you
has
know
been our MO from day one.
That should
always
be
take a little
podcast.
Too far.
A little too far.
So, but you know, hopefully,
that's how you know where the edge is.
Yeah, by falling off.
Falling off.
The end of the earth. No,
hopefully we'll get some more Geeks of the Square Table Outright Geekery video going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
We use that Outright Geekery TV YouTube channel.
That thing that we did that one time.
I have it.
Never again Weekly Rex. Something like it, but my God.
I'm not giving up hope on Weekly Rex, but...
Has it been like a year since Weekly Rex?
It's been a while.
I got asked about it recently, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
The last one I remember watching was like the one where you were doing like the old-timey thing.
I like that.
That was the best one!
It was the best one. Takes Poland.
Yeah.
We got the B-Man didn't realize that there was actually a guy.
Man, we are stretching this in.
We got the new funny pages coming out today. What do we got?
Let's end this.
Yeah, let's end this. Thanks for listening.
We love you.
Goodbye.
Everybody!
Comiccity.com, Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
I'm going to eat one of your donuts, man.
Your donut sticks?
Come on, go ahead.
They're so good with coffee.